B-Pod Studios.
Felger.
I don't know, guys. Am I going to play? Am I not going to play? What am I going to do?
Maz.
Yeah, Maz, you stupid. S-T-O-O. Stupid Maz.
It's time for Felger and Maz, presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Just now, you're pointing out that you said it was a high number of players who've been vaccinated have been affected by COVID as well. I guess the point with Cam was that he didn't get sick, but he was still affected by it. So that didn't play a role in your decision?
No, we have other players on the team who aren't vaccinated, as I would say probably as every other team in the league. And we've had minimal, but throughout the league, there have been a number of quite a high number, I would say, of players who have had the virus who have been vaccinated. So your implication that vaccination solves every problem is just not really, I would say that has not been substantiated based on what's happened in training camp this year. That's all.
How many players on the team are still not vaccinated?
Yeah, again, I'm not going to get into that. Those are all personal decisions, and it's not my place to talk about another person's decision or medical condition.
That was one of Bill's COVID answers today. Was Ben Folan's implication that the vaccine solves every problem?
No.
No.
Was that the question or any implication?
No.
Has anyone ever said that anywhere ever?
No.
Okay.
I think he's a disingenuous freaking power drill. That's what I think he is. Power tool, complete screw gun.
So tool is what you're trying to say.
No, completely. Like, absolutely. He just completely, manipulated the question and didn't answer it. I would rather him say what he said about some of the other stuff. Look, guys, I'm not going to get in every decision about every roster move. Okay? We made the decision we made, and that's it. I don't like that answer either. But this was disingenuous. Please. It's got nothing to do with whether people with the vaccine are still getting it. The rules are such that people who don't have the vaccine have to pay stiffer penalties, if that's what you want to call it.
And have serious issues in terms of availability and dependability because they have to go through extra protocols.
Yeah, so Ben's implication then might be, hey, you know, it does make your life easier, makes the players' lives easier. Would you argue that, Bill?
You know what I wish? I just wish one thing about the question. Instead of saying Cam being unvaccinated, did that factor in? I would have rather it been, does Cam's inability to navigate the protocols because he was unvaccinated factor in? So it's not about being vaccinated or unvaccinated. It's about his ability to navigate it being unvaccinated.
So, I mean, we know it was a factor. Maybe it was the driving factor. They, you know, the rules in the agreement with the Players Association allows for a team to factor it into their decision making. It can't be the primary decision. It can't be the primary reason. And I don't know how they can determine that. Urban Meyer is going to be investigated now, stupidly, because he admitted it. So I understand Bill's probably dancing around that too. But you are allowed to say it was a factor in our decision. That is allowed in the agreement with the NFLPA. You just can't say it's the only reason. But if it's one of the reasons, you're in the clear, which is what all Urban Meyer said and why he's going to be fine and that investigation's stupid. And so maybe Bill doesn't even want to dance along that line, which, again, is fine. He doesn't have to answer the question. He doesn't answer questions he doesn't want an answer. But to go now in this other direction where you're entering that realm, where now you're like the vax denier or the anti-vaxxer or, you know, like one of our dingbat callers, well, you know that like we are one of these guys. I mean, my question is, how do the crafts feel about this? I mean, it's such a horrible look for the organization because I know how the organization feels. They send planes to China. They open up their facility for mass vaccination sites. I know it's important to the crafts and what side of it they stand on, but the spokesman for their team comes off like some sort of anti-vaxxer. Well, you know, the numbers say he's one of these guys. If I'm the crafts, one of you, Robert or John, one of you should go behind a microphone here and tell us how you really feel, because now I'm beginning to wonder. Now I am beginning to wonder, what side of this are you on? Because your coach comes across like he's on the other side of it. All in the name of what? Protecting your players? What are you so afraid of? As coaches across the league, that are willing to say how important it is. Your whole league has gotten behind the vaccination movement. There's PSAs, there's ads, there's players lending their name and likeness to it. Coaches, players, owners, they're all speaking to it. You, your organization, the spokesman for your organization is saying that, well, the numbers say, you know, you can still get it. Like, you're one of those. You're one of those guys.
Yeah, he clearly came off as a guy who sounds like he feels like the vaccine doesn't make that much of a difference. To which, again, I or anyone there would ask him, well, you understand that an unvaccinated player could get COVID and become much sicker, be out longer, and have longer lasting effects. You get that, right? Like,
he knows that. He's just being a dink.
And his numbers were all wrong. You know, here, play, Jimmy, play number four, if you could, please.
Did Cam's vaccination status have anything to do with him being released?
No. No, I mean, look, you guys keep talking about that. And, you know, I would just point out that I don't know what the number is. I mean, you guys can look it up. You have the access to a lot of information. But the number of players and coaches and staff members that have you know, been infected by COVID in this training camp who have been vaccinated is a pretty high number. So I wouldn't lose sight of that.
Okay. It's not a high number. Arcan gave you the numbers before. I didn't write them down, but the number of people at large is not a big number at all. And the number of NFL personnel is not a big number at all. So he's even got that wrong. But even if you have it right and you're all bent out of shape about this issue, you know, again, call Howie, call someone else. That gets political, and you can go do that on your own time. Go play with yourself, you know, in your own time on your politics.
I have those numbers
for
you.
But hold on, even if it's right, even if Bill's right, I know his owners feel differently. Or do they? I don't know. I mean, I don't know, guys. What do the Patriots stand for on this? Are the Patriots anti-vax? Because the coach sure sounds like it. The coach sure sounds like it. And he's the only one that I hear speaking for your organization. So how do the Crafts feel? I mean, I don't know. It would seem to me they're sort of pro-vaccination since they opened up their entire facility to the state to do this thing. And they sent their plane to China for masks. I know that's a little bit of a different thing, but along the same lines. You know,
pro public health.
Charlie Baker and John Kraft are in tears next to the plane when they go get the masks. So something tells me the Crafts are pro public health, pro greater good. And I'm not hearing these numbers from the Patriots. Well, the percent of players who are infected and they got the vaccine. Well, you understand that the immunity rates among those who've already had. All I hear them saying or all I see them doing is what's for the greater good in public health. Yet their coach comes out and sounds like some kooky anti-vaxxer. Okay, Bill, good job. Great. Great. All to what? Protect Cam Newton?
Exactly. That's the part that is absolutely maddening.
Or some of his current players. Maybe there's some prominent current players who are, you know, he said that Cam's not the only guy who's not vaccinated on the team. So maybe those are important guys to him.
No, I think he thinks the thing is BS.
Maybe he does. I don't know. But how does the owner feel? How does the team feel? I mean, if I'm the team, and I'm the organization, I would do something that says, this is how we feel about this issue. Our coach and his comments do not reflect how we feel about this.
Or at the very least, pull him aside and say, hey, keep it to football.
Ixnay on the percentages and all of this goofiness.
Dr. Bill?
I'm sorry, Murray. What are the hard percentages?
So this is from Bob Halloran. WCVB tweeted this. Between August 1st and 21st, 68 players and staff tested positive out of over 7,100 tests. Incident rate among those unvaxxed was 7 times higher than those who were vaxxed. He writes, I can solve that word problem. It means 60 of the 68 were unvaccinated. 8 were vaccinated.
I don't know. You can run the percentages, Maz. I mean, maybe that's higher than they were expecting or higher. I don't know. That feels like... I don't know. I'm no infectious disease expert, but it sounds like Bill's portrayal there that the number of players and coaches who've been infected, who've been vaccinated is high, is not an accurate statement. Inaccurate. But at least does not reflect the feelings of his team. I don't know. How does the team feel? So, like, this is one of those. It's all in the name of what, Bill?
Right, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Protecting Cam Newton or who on your roster? Now, who? Who's wearing a mask on? Are the McCourty? Is Devin McCourty wearing a mask on the sidelines? Is he vaccinated? Who's he talking about?
It's just so disingenuous, all because he doesn't want to answer the question about what factored into his decision on releasing a player. He turns into a public health issue, for crying out loud. Like, stop it with that. And I just did the math just for the hell of it. It's 11.7%. Okay, so let's just call it whatever you want. 9 out of every 10 people who are getting the virus are unvaccinated. Unvaccinated. Okay. 9 out of every 10.
And maybe that's not a great number at the end of the day. I'd still take my chances with 9 out of 10. I don't know. But again, what do the Patriots stand for on this? What do the Patriots stand for as an organization? As a public entity? As a organization and an ownership group that cares about their role in the community and how they're viewed in the community and their impact on the community. These things are sincere and legit from the Crafts. And so you have your team spokesman coming out, throwing out numbers and suppositions that make him sound like he's not for the greater good or the public health or all over what? It's like, boy, that would aggravate me if I were the Crafts. I just threw open my entire facility to the state for mass vaccinations because this is important to us. And our coach comes out and says, I don't know if you know the numbers, but you know, there's a lot of people getting infected who have been vaccinated. It's like, what? Meanwhile, Jerry Jones, like the devil himself, is able to speak eloquently about what's important for society. But meanwhile, Belichick, I mean, that one... That one to me, if I'm the Crafts, it's like, really, Bill, we had to go there? Or unless John and Robert feel the same way, then let's hear it. Come on. We're all men. Do you believe that? Do you believe the vaccinations are overrated and some sort of phony science or some sort of government conspiracy or something? Let's hear how you feel.
Yeah, well, we're not all men. We here are men, but there are a lot of people out there that aren't men. But look, it's just the part of it to me, and you made this point earlier. What do you have to go down that road for? Why connect the two? Just was Cam's vaccination status a factor? Look, guys, I'm not going to give you the blow-by-blow on every decision I make. He's said that a million times over the last 20 years. Why do you have to all of a sudden turn it into something more about some sort of dissertation on whether the vaccine is effective or not?
No, and that's why I think he believes that the whole thing is a crock, because he sounded like, well, I got things to say. Oh, you're going to bring it up? Well, no, I've got facts for you then. Like, that's how he came off there.
I think he was playing with mirrors. That's what I think. Smoke and mirrors, running interference, and turning into something it wasn't just to be Bill.
Either way, the owners and the players' union crafted an agreement about how they were going to go forward with the testing and the vaccinations and the protocols. And so they're all living within that agreement. They're all living under those parameters. And the players who are unvaccinated, it's really untenable for those players. Really hard for them to dance through the raindrops and remain active on your team. And if Bill didn't want to acknowledge that, that's what it's about. Not that other stuff, but Bill went there, so, you know, we're making about it, but it's about that first thing. And Cam Newton couldn't live with underneath that, and so he's not a viable option as a starter or a backup. Makes perfect sense. But for some reason, Bill can't go there, and I think kind of made it worse for himself. So anyway, those are thoughts on that. What are yours? That and Patriots expectations right after this.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
They've been incredibly consistent.
The only thing that's consistent is their inconsistency.
I don't think that's inconsistent.
Yeah, which is exactly what Murray said.
Am I misinterpreting that?
No.
Now, more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
He can't be counted on to be available. As we said during Tuesday's edition of PFT Live, it is impossible to reconcile failure to be vaccinated with full commitment to be available to your team because of the daily testing, because of the five-day knockout for close contact with an infected person, because of the misunderstanding. And the Patriots went out of their way to not make him look bad on this point. He screwed this up. He should have known better. It's not a complicated thing. Hey, Cam, you got to get tested here every day. You can get tested at 5 a.m. today. You can go out of town. You can get your medical evaluation. You come back tomorrow night. As long as you get here by 11:59 p.m. and get tested, we're good to go. You got it? Okay, good. Go have fun. And then you find out that that didn't happen. That's the kind of thing that will drive Bill Belichick crazy.
Did Cam's vaccination status have anything to do with him being released?
No. No, I mean, look, you guys keep talking about that. And, you know, I would just point out that I don't know what the number is. I mean, you guys can look it up. You have the access to a lot of information. But the number of players and coaches and staff members that have, you know, been infected by COVID in this training camp who have been vaccinated is a pretty high number. So I wouldn't lose sight of that.
Missing the point. It's about the availability of your players. If you're unvaccinated, you're likely to be unavailable because of the protocols. So he didn't really answer the question, and his math is specious. Eight players and coaches who are vaccinated got it. So is that a high number?
I mean, I say no.
I don't feel like a high number to me, but so anywhere. And anyway, there you go.
Well, the other thing is, if you look at those numbers, okay, how many of them were quarterbacks, Bill? That's a factor, too. I'm sorry. The quarterback is a central figure to your whole operation. It's different. We're not talking about the freaking gunner on the special teams.
All right, back to your phones. Here's Ed in Worcester. Go ahead, Ed.
Hey, how you doing, Nate? Hey, guys.
We're good, Ed. What do you got?
I'm looking at Mac Jones with the, you know, from now training with the first runners till the regular season. He's going to look great in the opener.
Okay, Ed, I'm going to let you go just on that point. He better look great. And I'm not expecting every week because there's going to be hiccups. I understand this. But I'm not going to the rookie quarterback to have some sort of holdover season or rookie development season or step back season or bridge season. That is not, no siree. This goes back to, you know, what are your expectations of him and the team this year? And my expectation is that he is at least an average NFL quarterback, if not above average NFL quarterback. And I'll just, you know, PFF rankings, Pro Football Focus positional rankings. He better be 18 or higher is what I would say. No lower than that.
How about this? We don't have to do nerd stats. What should his, in your opinion, what should his touchdown to interception ratio be?
And they better be a playoff team. It's 2-1. Oh,
yeah, or pretty close. If he comes in at like, you know, 22-13 or something.
No, 2-1. 2-1. Well, okay. I mean, now we're splitting hairs, Mass. That's 2-1, essentially. Yeah. 2-1. I mean, that's okay.
But the number matched through it, I think, is realistic. 22-13, 23-14, something like that.
Yeah, he's got to be, again, in that ballpark, Mike, is what you're getting at. Yeah. I don't want to get caught up in the details either. He's got to be relatively mistake-free, make more plays than he does mistakes, which is what will produce something like a 2-1 ratio. And so, look, but the more important point, as you ask this, Bill's not expecting that either.
No way.
If we get to the middle of the year and Bill starts saying things like, well, this is part of the process with a rookie quarterback, it means things have gone wrong. If Bill starts dropping on that one on you, it's an excuse, like him talking about the freaking salary cap and the budget with Charlie Weiss last year on XM Radio.
He was a high prospect in the draft because he was said to be NFL ready. He won the job and Cam Newton was released because he is said to be NFL ready. So I expect him to be NFL ready, which is at least average versus the entire rest of the field, at least. Maria in Worcester. Hi, Maria.
Oh, hey. Hi, you guys. I think Belichick blows during interviews. He just never is truthworthy at all. And he's lying because the vaccination status definitely played a part. I mean, Cam can't be trusted, you know, to get tested. And so why do you want a quarterback that's not reliable and that's going to be off, you know?
It's such common sense, Maria, and it should be. If it wasn't, it should be.
For a guy who has preached dependability as one of the best abilities, or is the best ability, like you can't rely on this guy if he's going to stay unvaccinated and he could be out for weeks.
She got it right.
Yeah.
Bill blows in interviews and he's a liar.
Mike in Danvers, go.
Hey, guys. So I was going to actually come on here and defend Bill because I was going to ask you how many Super Bowls you think the Patriots were going to win if Bruce Arians was their coach. But I'm finding it a little harder to defend Bill now. So I just will say this. I think there's still a rift between Bill and the Crafts. And I think Bill came down and, I mean, the Crafts came down and said to Bill, look, the guy can't be here unless he's going to comply. And it's that simple, Bill, and it has to be that way. And I think that's why he's got a hair across his butt.
Well, you know, this is what Christian Arcan said yesterday. I don't know what, unless there's some sort of leaking going on here or some sort of indication that that happened, that feels like quite the supposition. So, I mean, that's all. I don't think there was ownership influence. I know what Bill, going back to cutting Cam and going with Mac Jones, I know that probably makes Robert happy, and I bet Bill knows that, and that may have factored in somewhere down the line. But I don't think he was told to do anything by the Crafts in this regard. I'd be surprised.
I mean, if after the whole Brady thing and the Garoppolo thing, if they are now forcing him to play the next guy, don't you think he'd, like, pack up and leave town?
Back to his, back to his first point about, you know, how many would you have won with Bruce Arians? I'm not going backwards. This conversation is not going backwards. Does Bill deserve the six? Does Brady deserve this? I'm not doing that. Going forward, since Brady left, Brady won without Bill. Can Bill win without Brady? This is a futuristic conversation. I'm not going back and, you know, dividing that up. It's all in front of him now. Brady proved he can win without you. Can you do the same? Ted in Amherst. Hi, Ted.
Hi, how's it going? I just wanted to pose the question of who's got more pressure on him week four, Mac as the replacement or Bill as the coach? I know you're just talking about Bill, but
Bill.
I think the expectations are almost minimal for Mac Jones in that game. Yeah, just don't screw it up.
So he's going to get sucked into this now. There's no way around that. He's going to get sucked into it, and it's going to be billed as Brady versus his successor, which Jones now is. Clearly, they've drafted him, they've anointed him, they've given him the keys.
Yeah, but it's really not his fight.
But he'll get sucked into it, Mark.
Oh, if he shows well, then he's off the hook. You know, if he plays well and they lose, then he'll get very little, if anything. But if he craps himself, oh, Murray, I know how you are. You were asking if he was a bust after one practice. If he craps himself.
Couldn't beat out Cam Newton. That was a legitimate concern at the time.
Well, I'm saying, so look, if you're going to do that after one practice, if he craps himself the fourth week of the year on national TV, people are going to say, the kid doesn't have it. He couldn't hold his water. He can't take the pressure. This is a big concern. That's going to get all thrown on his shoulders. If he's just serviceable and, you know, stands up to the moment where he's professional and, you know, just looks the part, even in defeat, I think he's fine. If he soils himself, oh, look out.
Oh, yeah, no. And in which case, Bill will take a bigger beating. Because, again, he drafted the guy. I still think it's going to be mostly Bill, but Jones will get sucked into it. And, again, just for kicks, because I'm so looking forward to it, Bill better blitz the crap out of Brady up the middle. Send freaking four guys up the middle and try to freaking knock them right onto Route 1.
Here comes Murray's update. When we come back, we have to spend just a second on the Red Sox.
Who? Murray?
A little bit of a situation themselves.
Give me the hammer, Murray.
Oh.
It's about time.
Yeah, go find a box of nails.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. A quick Red Sox minute after Murray's update. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Please, Mass.
What the?
Felger and Mass.
What the F are we doing here?
98.5.
What are we doing?
The Sports Hub.
Bottom three, tied 1-1. Long at bat here for Kiermaier. Eighth pitch of the at bat. And he walks him. Guy rarely walks. He puts him on in front of Mejia.
Ow, got him.
It's going to get him.
Not even close. Got him 0-2, and you got to go get him, I think. He's playing with fire right now. This is where we are.
Verdugo there. The throw comes in behind second base, and both runners are going to move up. Mejia as well with some very alert base running.
Look at that. He throws the ball offline. I mean, that's a brutal throw. Awful throw.
Kiermaier at third, Mejia at second, Cruz at first.
Oh,
down for a base hit. Kiermaier is in to score.
Mejia, how about that?
Hell, that gets
how about
away.
This?
Here comes another run in to score.
What is that? Is that the ugliest thing you've ever seen in your life? That is horrible. Renfro gets this ball in. Big hop, and here he goes. Lets it go. Two hops, and Dawback can't catch it. It's two hops to hit the cutoff man. Just not a good throw to begin with, but you've got to catch that ball, well, Dawback.
That error is going to be on the first base.
Yes.
Oh, bounced no. away from Vasquez. Here comes another run in to score.
I thought it couldn't get any uglier, and it did.
On a wild pitch.
It's just not pretty.
No, it's been a gruesome inning.
Like, how did this happen?
RBI single for Meadows to score Franco and make it 5-1.
Oh, yeah. Off of Bobby's glove, too. One of the ugliest innings of the year.
Ugh. He gets plunked. Well, it can get uglier, actually. He'll flare this one into short right field. Munoz going out, and that's going to drop in. 7-1 Tampa Bay.
Oh, I thought I saw the ugliest inning. No, it continued. That ball was in the air forever. How could that ball drop? Renfro must have lost it. No, he got a jump. He's all right. He pulls up. He just pulled up right in between them. The ugliest inning in the world continues. The ugliest double you'll ever see.
What's that sound? What's that sound?
That's a box of nails.
Let's see it, Murray.
Grab away, Maz. Huh? Take your pick.
You actually brought in a box of nails?
Box of nails. They're actually one of those the screw nails.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen those.
You get screwed and then nailed.
Oh, yeah. Harder to pull out.
Yep.
Oh, no, those are permanent.
Yep.
Yeah, you put those suckers in there, party's over.
If you folks have not seen this third inning from last night, just look at that. There's highlight packages put together, melds put together that this third inning that the Red Sox gave up last night in this ball game in Tampa was freaking epic, biblical.
Bad news bears kind of stuff.
And you heard the names involved, Dahlbeck and Vasquez, who does he still lead Major League Baseball in pass balls? He's wretched as a catcher. I don't know what's happened to this guy.
So in this inning, the Red Sox walked one and hit two batters, all of which started on 0-2 counts. Okay? So the inning leads off with Kiermaier, 0-2, walk. Next batter, 0-2, hit by pitch. Then there was a deep fly ball to center.
This was good.
Where Verdugo threw to no one, and I don't even know if anyone was covering the base, but the runner from first tagged and went to second. That was the catcher on Tampa.
Yeah, he's a fat catcher. He advanced to second because Verdugo's throw was on the third base side, 10 feet off the bag, really to no man's land, and the guy ran into second base.
Next batter
waddled. He waddled into second base.
Next batter walked. Next batter hits a single into right. Renfro two hops it from about 30 feet away. Horrible throw, but still very playable for the cutoff man, who was Bobby Dahlbeck. And, of course, he couldn't feel the ball because he sucks. Because he sucks.
Because he can't catch.
Because he's a horrible baseball player.
Another bomb for Bob.
And meanwhile, the babies on Barstool just give him nicknames, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, it's...
He can't play.
Maz and I got to deal with that all the time. It's a home run for Bob. It's another one. How is he at first base?
He sucks.
He blows.
He sucks and blows. He can't play.
He really does.
He can't play.
18 home runs, 12 errors. It's close.
12 errors, the most of any first baseman in Major League Baseball.
And Vasquez does have 9 pass balls, Murray, first in the big leagues.
So Dahlbeck misses the replay. Ball goes, bounding into the on-deck circle. 2 runs score. Next batter, wild pitch, scores a run. Now, this was the play where Verdugo tries to backhand a ball in the dirt on a 2-strike count. Should have been a strikeout. Verdugo calls for the breaking ball. Vasquez calls for the breaking ball. So he knows it's coming, knows it could be in the dirt, 2 strikes. Just tries to pick it with his backhand, doesn't block the ball. This has been a recurring theme for Vasquez here recently. What is up with this, Maz?
I don't know. It's a good question. I have no idea. To me, when you see effort like that behind the plate, it's sort of like what happened with Gary Sanchez in New York. And you know what that is? Laziness.
Freaking jaking it.
Laziness.
Giving up. Next batter, hit by pitch after an 0-2 count. And then the coup de grace, that little bloop into right field where both Munoz and Renfroe quit. Bloops for a two-run double. If you can go watch it, just all those plays put together, it's a treat. Meanwhile, 10 of the 25 players are now on the COVID list, including Bogarts.
Correct.
And so, Maz, where are we? Done? That's it?
Over. It's over.
Took you long enough.
It took me, Murray, it took 10 guys going on the COVID list. When Bogarts walked off the field last night, I said, forget it. That's it. It's over.
It's not just that. They're also quitting. They've also quit. They have the quit in them. The Yankees had a massive COVID outbreak last month, and they went on a run.
Correct.
And passed you in the standings and started challenging for the division. In the middle of their COVID outbreak, they kept winning. In your COVID outbreak, you're quitting because your team has a lot of quit in it.
They've imploded.
Your team is a fraud.
Yeah, they've imploded. Again, I think this goes back to the deadline where they, you know, obviously a lot of that goes on ownership and upper management. But then after that, you've got to recover from that. You've got to recover. When is the last time? I asked this the other night. When is the last time they played a good series? Really? Like, if you really think, when's the last time?
I couldn't tell you.
I think it was before the Baltimore series where they beat the crap out of the Orioles, who suck.
No, you can't
count
that
even count? I don't think you can count that.
No, you got to go back to when they're, like, sweeping the Yankees, when the Yankees looked like they were dead in the water.
And listen, the mistakes that are happening, that third inning that you're talking about last night.
Oh, my God.
Guys throwing in between bases. Like, what the hell are you trying to find? You throwing guys open now? Is that the deal? What the hell are they doing?
He was going a back shoulder throw from center.
It was unbelievable, some of those throws. It's just literally chucking it back into the infield. And there was a throw later where Renfroe got the ball, and it wasn't an errant throw. But the way he flipped it into the infield was like, dude, get me out of here. Get me out of here.
The team's a fraud. They're quitting. They're a bunch of quitters.
But that Vasquez thing again, too. Get your knees down. Block the ball.
So what is that? What is that? And it's just happened over and over. It happened either the game before or the series before. This bounding ball over Dalbec for a run was preceded by, again, Vasquez not getting down to block a two-strike ball in the dirt. And the runner reached. And so this is like over and over with that. What is that?
I don't know.
And why does Alex Cora keep playing him? If his players are quitting, and I understand now there's all sorts of COVID absences, but is he once going to pull a guy who quits or is his heads up his ass like once? Is he going to do that once?
I don't look. It's a legit question. And Cora's on the list too. I just think they've completely imploded. They've completely fallen apart. So they could play Plawecki a little bit more. Vasquez has sucked all year. He hasn't hit at all. He has sucked for a long, long time this year. So I think that maybe he's carrying his offense over to his defense. Like, who the hell knows? Maybe something like that. But it's over. I will admit it, Murray. It's over. I even asked Jimmy if he could find me a freaking hammer and nail sound effect. I don't know if we have one or not. I have no idea what it sounds like, but let's go, Jimmy. Play it.
We got the box of nails. Yep. There it is.
Put it in. Put it in deep. Yep.
It's over. They're dead. Forget it. It's over. They're actually still in the playoffs right now, if you didn't know that. They're a game up on the A's, albeit tied in the loss column. They're done. It's over. Forget it.
There's your Red Sox minute. Add it to your list of wonderful phone calls. Long commercial-free segment is next.
Boston's home for sports. Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
You are a sorry liar. You are a sad, sorry lot. 98.5. Literally pathetic.
The Sports Hub.
I was told this morning by a source I trust, the COVID stuff, last straw. One thing about inconsistency, one thing about last year, this year, they were done with it. Okay? The quarterback is the position that has to be reliable. I don't want to hear this morning that Mac Jones won this job because he was good against fourth stringers in the preseason. That didn't hurt. But you don't go from backing up to being the only really starting viable quarterback in a team because you were great against the fourth stringers. Don't kid yourself. This COVID nonsense, don't listen to anybody. I got it sourced. It drove them nuts.
So that didn't play a role in your decision?
No, we have other players on the team who aren't vaccinated, as I would say probably as every other team in the league. And we've had minimal, but throughout the league, there have been a number of, quite a high number, I would say, of players who have had the virus who have been vaccinated. So your implication that vaccination solves every problem is just not really, I would say that has not been substantiated based on what's happened in training camp this year.
I haven't heard anyone say anywhere that vaccination solves every problem, but oh well, that's how Bill answers that. So there's Colin Coward. His source says it was the reason Cam Newton's gone. Ted Johnson, former Patriot, tweeted out yesterday, it's the reason Cam Newton is gone. Media's ranting and raving about it. Bill says, well, numbers show doesn't solve every problem. So if you think that's going to solve every problem, and no one's even saying that, but that's where we are with the Patriots today and the fallout on that. So that and some Red Sox stuff here. Jake in Boston on the Sox. Go ahead, Jake.
Yeah, first of all, Big Jim, you and I are tailgating before the game next Thursday at Ray James. I'll email you. Now on to the Sox. Despite being one of the biggest cheaters and frauds in baseball history, Alex Cora was hired supposedly because of his ability to communicate with players. Thus, he needs to be held accountable for the fact that this team is not over that 85% vaccine threshold mark and that this COVID outbreak is as much a fault of communication than anything else. Either that or the entire trade deadline caused the Red Sox immune system to completely fall apart. So what is it? Is Alex Cora to be held accountable for the fact that his team isn't at that 85% mark and he's got 10 players on the COVID list right now?
So I hold him accountable for not holding his players accountable. They've been playing with their heads up their ass for a month and he doesn't do anything about it. I mean, every once in a while he comes out after a game and says that was embarrassing or unacceptable, but I haven't seen it. You correct me if I'm wrong. I haven't seen him take away anyone's playing time because of it.
Not that I've seen either. Again, he was asked this question about a week ago and he said, look, you know, I pulled guys out of the lineup before. You guys just don't see it. Might happen between games. You know, it happened in 2018 with one of our better players. I don't know if I believe any of that.
Well, I don't care about 2018, right?
Yeah, I don't either. And look, honestly, I don't know how much of it would have made a difference because it feels to me like a lot of the players have checked out. But you can't leave the manager off the list. If we're gonna sit there and call him the manager of the year when they are 102 win pace on July 31st, then we can't look at this collapse and dismiss him. Like, how do you do that? You can't do it that way.
Dan in the car on the Patriots. What are your expectations?
Hey, it's Dan Guy, the sports guy. You guys were talking about the expectations just a few moments ago before the Red Sox. Don't you agree that they're higher now with the quarterback being the kid? Because with Cam, like you said, it's a bridge year. It's go get us a first-round playoff, or maybe a wild card. Go do what you can. We know what the expectations are. It's a 10-win team. But with the kid, Bill's not throwing this kid in there if he thinks they're going to be just a wild card playoff team, because if that was the case, they would have kept Cam and just developed the kid as the backup.
The expectation should be no worse. If going to the rookie quarterback means you're going to be worse, then I wouldn't go to the rookie quarterback. Not you in your current place. Again, there's different situations. Jacksonville, if they have to go through some lumps to develop a rookie quarterback, that's different. That's Jacksonville. They're coming from nothing. Okay, you are different. You still have the greatest coach of all time, presumably. And a team that you want to win now because you just spent $200 million on it and you have built the team to win now. So you're going to a rookie quarterback, fine. He's got to win at the level that you would win with some veteran.
Yeah, but he's still a rookie, though. The kid's going to take his lumps. A wild card loss is the best a first-round rookie quarterback has done in at least a decade. So that's that should be your expectation. Like a good record, maybe win the division, maybe you win a wild card.
I'm not sure all the other the previous cases apply, though.
Well, I mean, and so I wanted to ask you, Murray, what was that? When's the last time a rookie quarterback won a playoff game?
First rounder. You're talking first round?
I mean, any playoff game.
Russell Wilson, 2012. He went to the divisional round.
Okay. So this is good. My expectation is Russell Wilson. Not what Russell Wilson is today. but what Russell Wilson did his rookie year. And I'm not telling you, like, to be the same kind of player or the same I'm talking about, and Bedard still didn't get this, but same talent level, same production. Win, be a playoff team, maybe even win a round, and be a good quarterback your first year. That's my expectation for Mac Jones.
Yes, I don't think that that is completely out of whack at all. And again, all these stats and stuff that are out there about rookie QBs, and I get it. I get it. And I think there's a lot of validity to it because Jones has got a lot to prove. So I don't think you can ignore that. How many of them jumped in with Bill Belichick as their coach on a team that just spent $200 million?
Exactly.
So, you know, Bill likes to treat everything on a case-by-case basis, so I'm going to treat it on a case-by-case basis. I expect more.
Okay, so I'm just looking at Russell Wilson's rookie year, just to pull it up.
They beat Washington. They lost to Atlanta.
Okay, but season stats, the team went 11-5. His completion percentage was 64%, 26 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. He had a really 100 quarterback rating. Again, in this day, well, 2012, that was still something. I don't expect 100 quarterback rating.
No, too high.
But
88, 90?
No, higher than that.
Yeah,
it's got to be in the 90s.
I'm expecting a quarterback rating in the 90s. I'm expecting 11 wins.
I mean, an average quarterback rating now is about 94.
I'm expecting a completion percentage well north of 60. I'm expecting 2-1 touchdown to interceptions. I'm expecting him to be at least an average NFL quarterback, if not slightly above average. I expect the team to win and go into the playoffs. And anything less, then I wouldn't play the rookie. And I would never have Cam Newton here in the first place either. But I don't give Bill a second bridge year. That's just not what I'm doing.
Bill's not giving himself a second bridge year. I'm not really worried about that part of it.
And you don't go out and spend the way in free agency unless you want to win now. They want to win now. That's how they spent. That's how they built their team. That's not what Jacksonville's doing. And that's not what other teams have done with rookie. That's not what L.A. did last year. And so this is different. This team built their roster to win now. So win now. That's my expectation. Coming up next, Paul Perillo joins us in studio.
Yeah, sunshine day.
In studio, we had the big boy Bedard yesterday. Now we got the big son now, Paul Perillo, in studio. How about that, Maz?
Oh, that'll brighten our day. The guy from California, guy in California will be happy to see Paul. before he gets his foot removed.
First, an update from Murray, 90 seconds, no commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.